President Trump is on his way back to Washington from Vietnam after his summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un collapsed earlier today without any agreement or really any substantive progress towards a nuclear deal. The big obstacle? North Korea wants an end to all U.S. sanctions before giving up its nuclear weapons program. Here's President Trump speaking in Hanoi, Vietnam, where the summit was held.
We had some options, and at this time we decided not to do any of the options, and we'll see where that goes, but it was a very interesting 2 days. And I think actually it was a very productive 2 days, but sometimes you have to walk.
Former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Nicholas Burns now teaches at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Some are calling this a bitter failure. Do you see it that way?
Well, it certainly ended up in a place where the United States had to walk away. The deal that was offered by Kim Jong-un, which was to dismantle the Yongbyon nuclear enrichment facility in return for the end of all American sanctions, was not a deal that the president possibly could have accepted because that leaves North Korea with all of its nuclear weapons. So I think the president had to walk away. It's a real disappointment, obviously, for him. And I think that the president, hopefully, and his team need to learn from this. You can't send an American president halfway around the world without some specific expectation that there's going to be an agreement after months and months of negotiations.
Yeah, what does this failure say about how this White House conducts diplomacy?
Well, they have some good people. Steve Biegun is the president's North Korea negotiator, very smart, experienced negotiator. Secretary Pompeo, smart and experienced as well. The president, however, tends to look at these negotiations as himself. The president's put far too much emphasis on this buddy relationship, buddy to buddy with Kim Jong-un. The president has fawned over him, which I find distasteful, given the fact that Kim Jong-un is probably the worst violator of human rights in the world today. Second, the president has thought, I think, that just the weight of his own personality and personal relationship with Kim would win the day. It didn't. And so I think this summit was doomed to fail from the beginning. I want to be fair here, though. I'm not saying the president was wrong to try diplomacy. I think he was right to change from a warlike stance in 2017 to give diplomacy a chance. I just think when you do that, you've got to empower your own negotiators below the president, which the president did not do. And you've also got to have leverage on your side. The president gave away a lot of our leverage. What was that? The president suspended the U.S.-South Korean military exercises back at Singapore at the first summit. The president talked as if this problem was already resolved and therefore China and Russia stopped adhering to the sanctions regime. We now need to go back to that kind of pressure on North Korea. It's the language that Kim Jong-un understands.
White House aides have stressed that, look, the president stood strong and walked away, and they evoked the sort of 1987 Reykjavik summit between Ronald Reagan and then Soviet Premier Mikhail Gorbachev, where, you know, the meeting ended without a deal but laid the groundwork for a future groundbreaking agreement. Do you think any groundwork was laid during this for a future deal?
I really don't. I think the president was right to walk away from what was being offered by Kim Jong-un, but it's hard to see how this situation now improves. The dictator of North Korea has essentially said he's not going to play ball with us. That's why you've got to go back to pressure. The sanctions, getting the Chinese, the Russians, the Japanese, and the South Koreans back into this with us. Push Kim Jong-un. Let him know there'll be no sanctions relief, no capital investment. Unless he's prepared to do more to dismantle his nuclear apparatus, that has to be what we do next.
You mentioned North Korea's atrocious human rights record, and the president today said he believed the dictator's claim that he had nothing to do with the 2017 death of American Otto Warmbier, a college student who died after being held in a North Korean prison camp. And the president said he felt badly about it, that Kim did, and that he believed him, that he had nothing to do with it. Does this kind of meeting grant legitimacy to a dictator, something the family has long sought?
That's always been the danger here, that we would give him credibility. And I found it distasteful. I found it naive for our president to say in public today that he believed Kim Jong-un and didn't hold him responsible for the death of Otto Warmbier, the American student who was brutalized in prison in North Korea. It doesn't stand to reason that in that kind of dictatorship, which is really almost a mafia-style family dictatorship, that you don't hold the dictator responsible for what he did to an American citizen. And I thought it was an act of weakness on the part of the president not to stand up for his family and in his memory.
Nicholas Burns is with the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. Nick, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Eric.